Speaker Nation, welcome to another episode of Public Speaking Secrets. Super excited to take you massively behind the scenes today to the dark arts of public speaking with Kenyon Salo. He's our guest today. He is the James Bond of public speaking. I'm going to link a video to his speaker reel on our website at publicspeakingblueprint.com later on, because you need to see this. He is super high energy, and I'm super excited to be able to get an insight on how he created his message and so much more today. So welcome to the show, Kenya.
Victor, so wonderful to be here. Thank you so much for having me. I'm fired up, and you know, I love that it's such a global world where you can be on one side of the world, I'm on the other, and we're able to have this conversation and be able to share any tips or bits of information or storylines that might be able to help some people along the way.
Super excited. And yeah, exactly. It's I was talking with someone on this side of the world a few hours ago, and then someone on the other side of the world. And then, it just makes it awesome, because you know, the skills that we have with public speaking, they're so transferable, and the lessons are very similar. But to dive into that, like, how did you get into the world of public speaking? Yeah, the keynote presentation space. How did that all kind of come about for you?
Well, for me, I am horrendous at dancing, drawing, doing any type of art or along those lines. But if I look back through my entire life, one of the key things through my entire life is that I've been pretty solid at communication. And even 20 years ago, I would look at some of the greats like Tony Robbins, and I would see him on stage, and I would say, one day I want to be able to do that. And it was a process, because everything I did in my life was geared around that communication side of things, that leadership side of things. And what I realized is that no matter what job I did, the most favorite part of my job was teaching, training, facilitating, speaking in front of others. And it wasn't until 2015 when I finally had my message. And then that's when it was like, you know what? I'm going to do public speaking. I'm going to be a keynote speaker. I'm going to push this for full time, and let's make a career out of it. So an overnight success in 20 years kind of thing.
Nice. It's really interesting you say that, because I know a lot of, having been to like Tony Robbins events, a lot of people leave it and they decide, I'm going to be a life coach, or I'm going to have as big an impact as what Tony Robbins does. What tends to happen is a lot of people just try and do what Tony Robbins does as the same impact as Tony Robbins. Like, I've heard some other speakers say, yeah, their first ever event, they had people dancing and clapping, and they had like 25 people at the event. They'd got their family up the front, and they were clapping and dancing, and they're trying to do the whole Tony Robbins, getting people into a prime state and that sort of stuff, which is great. But they said then they came out as a speaker and they didn't have the same energy. They weren't 8 foot tall. They didn't have a lumbering voice that went over, and it didn't fit their calling, their message, everything that didn't really associate with it. So it's really interesting when people are like, I want to do what Tony Robbins is doing. And I'm like, you got to do you. You can share the message to have impact. You've really got to find your own voice and your own style. And otherwise, we're going to have 100 different Tony Robbinses, and 99 of them aren't going to be doing a very good job. So run us through that 2015. What happened? What gave you your message, your calling? Where did that come from for you?
Well, ultimately, building on exactly what you just said there, which is about authenticity. And for me, I had seen, studied, read, watched, just devoured as much content as possible from great speakers and trainers and leadership to understand what they're doing and how they're impacting the world and how they're able to deliver it to those audiences. And not just people that were thought leaders, but also people like comedians, entertainers, actors, actresses, all along the lines. Anybody that was performing in front of an audience was where I took inspiration from, but also where I took learning from. So the ultimate scenario is understanding what the message is, so that way you're authentic to yourself, that when you stand on stage, you're 100% you, And if you're not, people will, they'll know it. They'll call BS on you. They'll know if you're not living the life that you're telling people to live, or you're not living the message that you're speaking about. And so for me, it was a transformation where all of a sudden I started realizing that I was living what I deemed a bucket list life. And so the message, the bucket list life, came out of it. And digging into the core values of the bucket list life, which was create more experiences, share more stories, and live more fulfilled by helping others, I realized that I could teach, share, facilitate, and train on those three concepts and design the entire keynote around that. And authentically, it's exactly what I would have been doing, was doing, and would continue to do in my life. So I knew that I had finally found my authentic message, and then that was the platform that I could speak about.
That's brilliant. And how, I mean, obviously I've seen your speaker reel and had a look at some of the stuff that you've been able to do, and it's yeah, pretty enticing, and it allows you, I guess, to create that authentic message. Like, you know, you see that video and you're like, yeah, I believe this dude. Like, yeah, not many people want to, yeah, just to spoil it, throw themselves out of a plane and land in a football stadium. Like, yeah, that's not something that you fake once off to be like, yeah, now I can give this presentation on stage that you're all going to believe in. Like, yeah, it's something that people are like, okay, this is authentic. This guy is living, you know, his bucket list life. When you were starting to put that together, say in 2015, what were your avenues that you were looking at to get onto stages then, say, to now? Was it like, you know, hey, I'm going to find my local Rotary Club, yeah, I'm going to put on my own events and speak? How did it kind of all come about with that?
Well, it's a little bit of luck and a little bit of lightning in a bottle, but also being skilled and ready when the opportunity showed up. And that's what happened for me, where a bureau reached out and said, hey, I've heard your name a couple of times. I feel like I should reach out to you. Do you do public speaking? And I was like, well, yeah, I've done a couple of events. Like, friends had asked me, or local type of smaller events for towns or cities or chamber of commerce type of thing. And this bureau reached out and said, look, I've got an engagement for a school. And I think schools are phenomenal places to start, because the budgets really fit that new speaker, and that new speaker can go in and have a pretty large audience to begin with, sometimes a couple hundred, 500 on that type of level. And I think that's phenomenal. So for me, it was $500 for my first engagement. The bureau took their 25%. I got $375, and I thought, wow, this is amazing. I made $375 for like an hour and a half of speaking. I thought I had really made the next level. But I had no idea that in the speaker world that you could make 1,000, 5,000, five figures. I was like, no way. And as I started to design my keynote and really dig into that, I said, you know what? I want to flip the industry. I want to be able to look at what the new trends are and make the differences and impact those audiences. And so I went from 500 to five figures per year, or I did that in a year. So that one jump from $500 to five-figure engagements was a huge jump. But here's the thing. You can't just raise your prices and expect to get five figures. The quality also has to exist. So I made sure that the quality was there all along the way, and I've continued to do that since that year, and it has been a phenomenal lifestyle ever since.
And with that, have you stayed with the Bureau? And what's your advice on that side of things for aspiring speakers? We've got some speaking agents coming on the show soon, so I'm looking forward to getting kind of both ends of the spectrum of, you know, what people have experienced with using them.
I'm a huge fan of bureaus and agencies. Look, they have 20,000 contacts in their email list that you don't have. And so partnering with them, and I know I hear people all the time like, well, I don't want to give up 25%. Yeah. What business out there keeps 100% profits? It's not the way it works. The fact that most speakers, let's say you do 10% in marketing and 25% to a bureau, you still get to keep 65%. Come on now. That is unbelievable. So I'm all for bureaus. I love working with them. The more that you can partner, I don't do exclusivity. I move along the lines where I want to make sure that I'm working one-on-one with all the bureaus and that every bureau has an opportunity to book me, because bureaus work in regions and you want to be able to hit that region with that bureau because they have those connections. And then you basically build up your satellites and then they help you get your events. And sure, you'll have some stuff coming through referrals or your website and things along those lines. But again, bureaus are our friends and they will help you build your business much faster than you could do on your own.
And what have you found from a reaching out to a particular, say, a new bureau that you're looking to reach out to? What are the assets or the things that the ducks that you can have in a row that can make you more appealing for them to say, yeah, I want to not only take you on, but get you in front of people? Because that's the, you know, oh, we want someone who's, you know, going to talk about a particular thing, and it's, you know, they've got to decide from five people. How do you help get yourself to the, in the door first and then to the top of the list?
It's very similar to banks. So banks are happy to give you money when you don't need it, but when you need it, they're unlikely to give it to you. And so that's kind of how it works with bureaus. So when you're first starting out as a speaker, you can knock on all the doors. You might get lucky. You can get that one, especially if they're local to you. That's absolutely helpful. So a regional bureau or local bureau that's close by, that absolutely helps. But there is a point at which, as you build your brand, your online brand, your videos, your testimonials, and things like that, you can use those assets to be able to build your business and reach out. So the longer that I'm in the industry, the more assets and stronger assets that I build, like my demo reel and my testimonial reels and the website, I use those to be able to reach out, to be able to connect with bureaus. Now, here's a little inside tip. Bureaus have lists of people, like waiting lists, that want to get in. And they're getting hit up 5, 10, 20 times a day. They might have a list of 200 to 500 people that have reached out and said, hey, I would love to be a part of your bureau. So you have to figure out how to be the gold that once all the sand is sifted, you're still sitting there. What's the thing that's going to make you stand out than anybody else? And so that's something that I have really focused on. I work closely with my team. And so when we present our marketing materials and we reach out to bureaus to get new bureaus, we make sure that we're doing something that they haven't seen, something that's new, something that's exciting, something that's going to catch their attention so that they'll at least take a look further about, hey, who is this guy? What is he doing? And let's have some conversations to see if we want to bring him on to the team. So that's pretty huge right there.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Those are awesome insights and awesome tips. With your speaking career, how have you just stayed with the keynote presentations, or have you used that as an in to, like you were saying, run, you know, deeper trainings on your particular topics, you know, not at conferences and things, or do you stay on the speaking circuit?
So for me, it's a complete pathway, stepstone pathway to where I want to go. And first and foremost was do as many speaking engagements as possible and continue to do them. And the reason why that is because that's the easiest way to start having income come in and build the brand and really get an idea of what your message is from the stage. So I really continue to focus on as many engagements. I do some breakout sessions, but those are only in addition to a keynote, if they want a keynote and for me as a speaker to stick around for a breakout session. So I can do that. And then the next step was speaker training. And so a handful of people that were training and helping them get to where they want. And so the team and I are focusing on that. And we are launching speaker training, a full program at the end of March. And again, it's somebody that has and is continuing to do it. And then the third step is branching out to these three-day weekends where start to live that life. But again, you have to be able to show you're doing it. I see so many people that are trying to do three-day weekend trainings and they still haven't gotten their act and their life together. So you have to be able to show that you're doing that, you've done it, and that you're living in authenticity, because then people will listen and then they want to be able to learn from you. And I think that's super, super valuable. I think I will always do keynotes, and I will continue and love to also do like 3-day weekends, maybe a 5-day full-on seminar retreat type of thing once a year.
Yep. And I mean, I think that's the ability to leverage your time even further when you've got individuals who can, you know, all pay you for your time over a weekend, and you can multiply that from a business standpoint, obviously from an impact, but you know, in the way that we're speaking, whereas, you know, only the company pays you to come in and give the keynote presentation, and then all the audiences are there, and I think you get a different buy-in. Obviously your presentation, if it's enticing and you get buy-in there when giving a keynote, that's important. But when people are actually putting their own dollars and cents in front of you to for your time, then you get that kind of different psychological buy-in. They want to make sure that they get a result off the back of it too. So, you know, different approaches, but yeah, I think it's a way to, you know, future-proof yourself as well, in the sense that, you know, a recession's going to come one day and some companies will tighten the purse strings when it comes to hiring keynote speakers. And then there's going to be a whole lot of people looking to add another bow to their string to make themselves, you know, either add speaking to their resume or to be able to make themselves more hireable. So I think it's a brilliant strategy in that system.
And I think that's very important, because to build a successful speaking business takes time. And I know a lot of people that are like, oh my gosh, I'm going to book 5 speaking engagements a month. I'm going to do 50, 60, 70 a year. And I'll start doing that this year. Well, it actually doesn't work that way. It is you get one this month, another month goes by, 2 months, you get another one, and then you go from there. And a lot of people say, well, what is my price point? And the key to understanding price point is you can raise your prices if you've done 15 to 20 engagements at a current price point in a calendar year or in the last 12 months. And that if you've done that, then go ahead and raise to the next level. But you can't just skyrocket to the next one unless you've got maybe something that's of ridiculous quality and straight out the gate, that's going to work. But most of the time, you have to just understand each level within the industry and be able to build up from there. And so where I'm going with this is, yeah, you're going to have another source of income. Might be a full-time job where you take 1 or 2 days off a month to do the engagements that you get. You work on your business at night. You do your job during the day. And then you eventually are able to transition out of it. But it will take time. It will take years. And it's a labor of love for sure.
That's awesome. I think that's probably the best insight for people out there looking to get into that speaking lifestyle is, yeah, you see the, and I love Gary, but you see the Gary V's of, like, you know, go hard, hustle your face off and all that stuff, which I'm not saying don't do, but don't expect that there's going to be, you know, 5 or 10 speaking engagements that are going to pop up in the next month as soon as you start hustling your face off, because a lot of these events are going to be, or organizations are going to be, they don't organize it 3 weeks out. They're not like, oh
yeah,
we need some speakers, oh that'll be good, we'll get Kenyon on, and yeah, that's all sorted. Like, there's back and forth and all the rest of it that comes with it, and there's a lot of forward planning from these places to make sure that they've got the right people. So
that's right. And I often tell new speakers or people in general that want to get into this industry, the best marketing that you can do is what you do on stage. And what I mean by that is you have 1 hour to present your best self. And there's going to be somebody in the audience that's going to say, here's my business card, I'm interested in you coming to my event, my company, whatever it is. And the thing is that the turnaround time is not instantaneous. That's exactly what you were talking about, Victor. The turnaround time is sometimes 6 months, sometimes 12 months from now. I just got an email today from somebody had seen an event that was 3 years ago. And they said, I saw you at this event back in 2017. and I'm interested in talking to you about coming to this event. That's a 3-year turnaround from that event. And the general rule of thumb is for every event that you do, you get at least one more speaking engagement. Sometimes it'll be 2, sometimes it'll be 0, but the average is one more speaking engagement from a referral from that event. And that's how you build your business over time. So that, that way it's sustainable.
Mm. I think, yeah, when you think about that, yeah, if you find, and by like, you know, whether that be your bureau or your marketing or whatever, if you find 50 yourself over a period of time, then you know, you should have another 50 coming in off the back end in the future, and then you keep your marketing, and then you know that stuff slowly builds and builds, and then all of a sudden you've got a sustainable business. So I think that's really, like, people should go back and listen to what we've just talked about, because once you get that in your head, it's not, you know, we're not here to live in this like, oh, let's be realistic. Look, you're going out by yourself trying to be a speaker. Like, that's not living in a realistic world. Everyone's going to tell you it's not going to work, or it's too hard, or you're not Tony Robbins, or you're whatever. So we're not saying let's be realistic, but when you can actually have some strategy and systemize and look to future, look into the future for what you are going to do, then you're going to have, I think, a lot more success, and you're going to be able to handle those ups and downs that we all go through in business ownership a lot better. When you were saying, you know, your best marketing card is you being up on stage, what are the things that you've found? And I know it's I'm not talking so much about the authenticity or your own personality. What have you found have been some of the secret sauce or the magic that have allowed you to create good online, on stage presentation?
Yeah, Victor, what you're talking about there is stagecraft. From the second you step on stage to the second that you leave the stage, that stagecraft is ideal. And ultimately, the simplest way to explain it is let go of the data of everything you think you should say or you have to say in that timeline. Let go of the data and think about how you make your audience feel. Because at the end of the day, most of the time, they're not going to remember. Even if they wrote it in their book, they're probably not going to go back and reference it. The audience is going to remember how you made them feel. And so my goal throughout the presentation is to make them laugh, to make them have aha moments. Some of them maybe have a tear that comes down their face, but they're going to at least feel deeply. And I want them to be able to have one simple takeaway. And that takeaway for my presentation is say yes. Say yes to life. Just say yes. And that's the thing that they remember. They walk back to their personal lives. They go back to their professional lives. And they remember, wow, that was an amazing presentation. And I'm going to say yes today. And if that's all they remember, my job is done. And hopefully they're also like, we should say yes to bringing him into the national event or the global event. We like that idea.
That's brilliant. Because that's something I talk about, that one overarching message when you're starting that to make that presentation is, what is that one thing that people will walk away with? Because everyone worries about, oh, I better give them all these statistics. I better, you know, tell them all these different stories. It's like everything just needs to work towards making sure they walk away with that one thing. Because yeah, everyone's going to interpret what you're presenting differently. Everyone's going to, yeah, listen to something. Some people are going to get a text message, or they're going to get lost on their phone and they're going to miss a certain part of it. But if they can all walk away and say, oh, I really liked, you know, I had a voice coach on our last episode, and we were like, it's these invisible ROIs that people don't realize. You never go, oh, that person has such great tonality and such great, right, you know, vocal depth and great pausing. But you also come, people will leave and go, man, that person was monotone and their message was boring, and or they spoke too fast or they spoke too slow. But you know, when you've got them right, people are never like, oh, they nailed that, because obviously, yeah, it's just kind of an expectation when you are in a speaker that you have these things. If you don't, it sticks out. So yeah, I think that's another entirely beautiful message, is when you're getting out there, what is your one message? And you see it with people's marketing, what do you speak about? Oh, I'm a this and a that and a this and a that and a, you know, I'm talk about this and this and this and this. So I can talk about whatever. Or who's your target market? Oh, anyone. And you're like, come on, A, it's not. Yeah, of course you could talk to anyone, but who can you speak to? And I think, I don't know from your point of view, but the clearer you get on that, it's easier to approach an organization or to put your marketing material in front of them when you know that their audience fits your target demographic.
That's exactly correct. And you talk about the thing that is a thing for me where speakers are like, I'm going to do leadership. Well, what do you got to talk about? Leadership. Well, that's great, but what's your angle? Oh, it's just leadership. I'm great at leadership. And they haven't fine-tuned it. And then that is why they end up in the pool of 500 speakers on a list that haven't even been considered for a bureau, as opposed to exactly the thing that makes them stand out. And that is the thing that our team drives that point home. Again, what is it? The bucket list life. What makes your presentation special? It's super high energy, great for opening and closings. Who don't you speak to? Generally rooms full of engineers or attorneys or things like that. They're tougher audiences for me. What's your ideal audience? Well, 50-50 split, or sometimes if it's geared a slightly more towards female, definitely helpful for my presentation. That's wonderful. What's your ideal audience size? 500 to 600. Can you handle a large audience? Yes, I did 8,000 in Australia. It's those types of things of knowing exactly how you're going to answer their questions and not seeming desperate, but instead being absolutely, positively, 100% belief in yourself and what you do.
Yeah, I think that is, yeah, you say you're going to be a leadership speaker. Well, you're not Simon Sinek, so you're down the list. Yeah,
that's right.
Already. And so it's, yeah, what is your point of difference? How can you get clear on your message? Because once you're clear in your head, you can start being clear to the organizations that are talking to you, the bureaus that are talking to you, and then, you know, knowing that your presentation, that you've got your one overarching message, your one takeaway message, because you're clear on who they are. You're not missing, you know, with a bucket list, I'm sure engineers, they're just all analytical, and lawyers just want to argue on every reason why you don't want to have a list. And yeah, you know that it's not going to have, you know, you're going to have some introverted engineers out there who don't want to go rah, rah, rah and jump up and move around in a presentation. So it changes your whole vibe. And yeah, that's the difference between getting, you know, when you got the right audience, and I'm just hazarding a guess, but that's the difference when you got the right audience and then one or two of them are coming up saying, we want you to speak at our next conference, versus, wow, that didn't hit the audience at all. We don't want you to come and speak at our audience again.
That's exactly right. You nailed it. That's exactly right.
Well, I appreciate all your time. I think there's a ton in there for people looking to get, yeah, any level of their speaking, but particularly giving a clear framework on those people looking to get their feet in the water, get into the schools, get really clear on your message. Get your understanding of everything. You've really shared a lot. So I'd highly recommend people listen to this a couple of times and just really look at what are the areas that you have ticked off so far in your speaking aspirations and all your career, and what are some of the holes that you can plug in that funnel. And if you would like more info, then we've got all the show notes and all the links at publicspeakingblueprint.com. But Kenyon, I want to welcome you to Speaker Nation. And if people want to find out more about you and what you're up to, where can they go and what can they do?
Absolutely. It's kenyonsalo.com. So you can check out the webpage, check out the hire me section, all that stuff there, especially for coaching or any other ideas. And additionally, Kenyon Salo on all social media platforms. And please friend me, please reach out. I love helping speakers, because what I realized is the more speakers that I help with their message, means that it's the more audiences that I'm having a chance to impact, even if I'm not on stage.
That's brilliant. Well, I appreciate your time, and I am sure you've had an impact on many of the audience out there today. So you enjoy the rest of your day, and I can't wait to share the stage with you in the future.
Great. Thanks, Victor.